Welcome one and all to Talk About It, a podcast by teens for teens, giving teens a platform to discuss the issues that matter to them. Be mental health, music, social issues, sports, anxiety, COVID-19, and so much more. My name is Ameline, the host of this show, and I invite you to settle in to what I think will be a very exciting episode of Talk About It. So I am delighted to be joined today by the lovely Cammie Toomey. She is from the beautiful state of California, my first ever guest from California, I might add. Cammie, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm keeping well. Sweltering in the heat, but keeping well.
So yeah, I get that. Definitely.
Yeah, it's we're having heat wave at the moment, 30 degrees. Anyway, not able to cope. We'll get over it. We'll get over it. Why don't you tell people a little about who you are, what you do?
Sure. My name's Cammie. I'm actually from California, and I do TikTok, and I also am trying to advocate for people who have invisible disabilities.
Okay, so you have a invisible disability yourself. I believe it's POTS. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes. So I have POTS, which stands for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which is kind of a mouthful. But basically, it means that I have a super high heart rate whenever I stand up, and it can cause me to like lose consciousness and pass out. And standing or walking for any long times or long distances is actually pretty hard. So that's what I have.
Okay, now I actually had heard of POTS before, because there is a girl in the UK called Deliciously Ella, that's kind of her brand name, and she got POTS when she was, 21, and then she turned vegan and she slowly was on the road to recovery. I don't believe she's fully recovered now, but that's where I had heard POTS from. But I found your story really interesting, so do you want to tell people a little bit about that?
Yeah, so actually I got COVID back in December, and I was in the hospital 3 times from it. I had a fairly mild case, but I actually struggled to breathe a lot. So we just went to the hospital to be a little bit more on the safe side. And I had a follow-up appointment with cardiology, and I really never got better, and getting COVID triggered POTS in me. So since then, I've just really been sick and haven't improved.
That's incredible that it started from COVID. I say the fear. I think people, when they hear that, you're 17, am I right in saying that?
I'm 18.
Oh, yes. Sorry, 18. So yeah. I think when people
you're
say
okay.
that...
Just turned 18.
Okay, well, happy belated birthday if you really just turned 18. I think when people say that, you know, it's not a danger that young people get COVID, it really, when you hear stories like that, it really hits home.
Yeah, no guarantee with getting COVID. People react so differently to it. And I know a lot of people who are my age that have had seriously lifelong illnesses stem from getting COVID, and who have had serious issues with COVID. So it always bothers me when people say that young people can't be affected by it, because there's plenty of people who are young who have gotten lifelong illnesses and disabilities and life-altering illnesses from getting COVID, which is really disappointing to hear when people say that young people can't get that sick from it, because it's not the case.
Yeah. What did you think of COVID before you got it, can I ask?
Yeah. I was actually very, very safe about COVID. Like, I was very conscious about not wanting to give it to my family. I wasn't as concerned about getting it myself, because that's what I was told, but I didn't want to pass it to the people I cared about. So my family was completely on lockdown. We did everything right. And then my dad was required to go to work, like to go back to work in the office. And his first week back at work in the office, he actually got COVID and brought it to the entire family.
Oh my goodness. Can I ask how many of you were affected with it?
We all got it. There's 4 of us in my immediate family. We all had like varying degrees of cases and symptoms, but mostly everybody thankfully was okay, which is like a blessing. But I just happened to get the worst case and get POTS from it.
Have you heard of POTS before you got it? Was it something you were aware of?
I actually hadn't. I think That's kind of one of the interesting things is I had no idea that POTS was even a thing and that there's this whole community of people who are suffering from it and you would never know. And it's kind of a unique story or an interesting way to find out about this whole community of people.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that you said there is a community of people with POTS. Can you tell us a bit more about what POTS is, like the symptoms that you get, how it affects you maybe?
So everybody with POTS is different. For me, I have a super high heart rate and I pass out a lot and I suffer from brain fog and chronic pain and just serious fatigue. And there's a whole span of levels. Some people continue to be Olympic athletes with POTS. Some people are fully on, have disabilities. So there's a whole spectrum, but we all try and support each other, whether that's through the internet or just sharing tips on like how to cope or how to help each other get through this illness, either physically or mentally.
Yeah, that's incredible. How did you come across the community, can I ask? Was it through doctors and nurses that kind of led you in that direction?
Yeah, it was through doctors and nurses and then my own research. There's actually like Facebook groups that are like support groups and like Dysautonomia International where people meet to share tips or to help each other in whatever way they can about finding doctors or stuff. So it's actually a pretty big community and everybody just really wants to help each other get through this because they all know what everyone is going through.
Yeah, that's incredible. So how does it affect you day to day, can I ask? Is it the constant, would you pass out every day? Is there day to day things, or is it just once in a while?
Yeah. So every day is different, but on average, I can pass out like 2 to 4 times a day on like average day. And it makes it hard to just do the average things and everyday things in life. Like I can't go out outside or in the public by myself right now out of fear of just losing consciousness in public. So that's drastically altered my life in that way. And you just always have to push through exhaustion and just major symptoms. So.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you say it's an invisible disability as well, because if people go on to my Instagram at underscore talk about a podcast, I did post a picture of you recently, as I do for every guest I have on. I do post a picture of who what they look like, and you wouldn't guess from looking at you that you had a disability or an illness. So what do you say to people who kind of look at you in shock when you tell them?
Well, I think you never really know what anyone is going through ever. And just by looking at me, you would have no idea, or looking at another person who has POTS. So I think it's just about treating everyone with kindness or just understanding that people are going through things that you can't see, even if you can't see it physically in their lives. They're going through all sorts of things and just showing kindness and not judging people for what they're going through.
Yeah, do you have any advice for somebody if they came across somebody with POTS, or even if they came across somebody who was just fell unconscious on the floor? Is there any advice? Because I personally wouldn't know what to do.
Right. So there's a couple, it depends on the degrees of the severity, but normally what you want to do is you want to hopefully talk to the person once they're conscious. If they're conscious for or unconscious for too long, for like a couple minutes, then maybe you go, okay, maybe I might call like the ambulance and see, okay, maybe they need actual medical help. But people with POTS normally will pass out and will be awake, and it's actually like a hindrance to call to call 911 on us because we just don't want to go through that and have to deal with the ambulance and all that added stress on top of that. So basically just making sure that they're okay and just trying to talk if possible. And especially there are people who have service dogs, so letting the service dogs do their job for sure.
What's the road to recovery look like?
So, because POTS is such a specialized illness, everybody has different treatment plans. For me specifically, when I stand up, I get a super low blood pressure, and that's what causes me to faint. So, right now, I'm on medicine to help raise my blood pressure, but a lot of the treatment options are not, there's not really a cure. It's just doing what we can to mitigate the symptoms, whether that's through medicine or just lifestyle changes, just trying to do whatever we can to lower the amount of we are impacted by the illness.
Okay, and can I ask when you heard about the diagnosis, how it affected your mental health actually?
It was definitely very hard because I realized that because of this, I wouldn't be able to do a lot of the things that I previously enjoyed. Like, I was an athlete, I competed in taekwondo, and I loved it, or I loved going out and hiking or being in nature. And that's not really a possibility for me right now. So that was really hard. And then realizing that going to college is not the right path for me right now because I pass out, but hopefully it can be in the future. So it was hard to come to terms with the fact that not only I have this illness, but it's something that will impact me in such a major way. That was
Yeah.
hard.
Yeah, I say it was. Can I ask for you personally, what is the mental health stigma like in the US, and how did that really, I suppose, impact you?
I think it's slowly improving over time. I think there's becoming less of a stigma, and as people are spreading awareness and being more accepting of people who are struggling with mental health issues, but it's always hard. Anybody who struggles with a mental health issue or is going through something hard in their life is struggling, and you're always trying to find the right support systems and just the ways to cope and get through it. So there's always room for improvement for sure.
Yeah, I think the same can be said here in Ireland. There is definitely room for
Yeah.
improvement. Hopefully,
Definitely.
there are people paving the way, so let's just hope that keeps happening.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely need those people.
Exactly. So can I ask what the future looks like for you at the moment, or is it quite uncertain?
There's a little bit of uncertainty, but so far right now, I'm doing online school and doing as much school as possible to move on, and hopefully I want to transfer to a full-time university where I will attend in person. So it's building my health up and hopefully getting to a point where that's possible and just learning how to live with this new disability that I have.
Yeah, so many people might not know this, but July is actually Disability Pride Month. So do you want to tell people the importance of that and what it means to you?
Well, so this is actually like my first Disability Pride Month because this is all pretty new to me. But I think it's just about coming to terms and accepting that people with disabilities or your disability is a part of you, and it's not something to be ashamed of. It is something that makes you who you are, and you're all that much stronger because of it. And there's a big stigma around people with disabilities, and they're seen and feel themselves as they're less than or as they're incapable. And that's not true. You can still live a happy, fulfilled life with a disability. It might be different, but you are still as capable as any other individual.
Yeah, I love that you said that, and I love that you said as well that there is a stigma around being disabled. I never imagined that before. And as well, when I came across a story and heard that you had an invisible disability, it never crossed my mind that about that either.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't think about it, and especially about how hard people who are disabled can be on themselves. Me especially, because I went from being healthy to just all of a sudden not being healthy. But I know there are people who have been suffering from like lifelong disability where sometimes it's frustrating to not be able to do all things that other people can do, and it's easy to feel less than because of it. But I think it's just coming to terms and realizing that you're not any less than anyone else because of what you are physically capable of doing, that you're still a full, strong individual.
Yeah, that's really nice. I really liked that you said that. That was really nice. Can I ask about the COVID restrictions in the US? Because I've been hearing a lot about it, and you might be able to
describe to us what the story is there, because I know it's very different from us here in Ireland. All we want is for the pubs to open.
Right. It's a little all over the place. With the vaccines rolling out, things are opening more and more. And for me in California, like, we aren't required to wear masks in public if you're vaccinated, but we are having a little bit of an issue with people who aren't vaccinated and the Delta variant, and that's rapidly spreading. So our numbers are starting to go back up again. So it's just adjusting and seeing how it all works out from here, because we don't really know.
Yeah, no, we're the same here at the moment. We're getting the young people vaccinated. People from like the 30s to 18-year-olds are getting vaccinated, which is fantastic. And then we're slowly reopening, but our numbers are creeping back up again, which is a bit of a nuisance. I think that's happening everywhere though with the Delta variant.
Yeah, it's no joke. It's pretty disappointing, but we'll see.
Yeah, do you have a message for teens that might take, I don't want to say take COVID seriously, because we've all taken it seriously. I think it's all hit us in a different way, but maybe a message to teens who just think it doesn't impact them.
I think that teens, and especially people my age, just need to recognize that even if you think that you're not at risk of the virus yourself, or that it's not going to affect you that majorly, one, that it still can affect you majorly, and that you're at risk of giving it to people you care about who it could really, really badly affect, like grandparents or parents or anybody that you come in contact with. I know it's really hard to miss out on all the things that come with being a teenager or growing up. It's been hard on all of us, but there are certain sacrifices that you have to make just to help others, and you should definitely make them because it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, we're nearly there. We're nearly there, so we just got to keep pushing, don't we? So I came across you, Cammy, on your TikTok page, and it really is something I've been enjoying. I was scrolling there on TikTok about an hour before we came onto this interview, and I saw your video on the, her name's gone from my head now, but the blind deaf Olympic swimmer that had to pull out of the Tokyo 2020 Paralympics. It broke my heart, to say the very least. I also came across a video about the American volleyball team, I believe, that wore shorts and that were penalized. I mean, you just tell these incredible stories on their TikTok page. So can I ask how that all started?
Well, I've always wanted to be a journalist or a writer. That's always been like what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I realized that I wasn't going to be able to get the traditional pathway to that. So I was like, I might as well just make these little videos and share little bits in the news and things that I'm interested in. And especially with, like, I think her name is Becca Myers, and the story about the handball team. I like sharing stories that are important to me or that I feel like need to be heard, like what happened to Becca Myers and being forced to pull out of the Olympics because she wasn't given the proper care specialist that she needed is absolutely devastating. And I felt like more people just needed to hear that story.
No, definitely, because I didn't hear half the stories that you tell, and it really, like, it shocks me, and my faith in humanity falls a little bit, I won't lie. But you know, it's definitely stories that do need to be heard. How do you come across them?
I just try and just do research and try and be as up on what's currently happening as I can. I think actually, like, social media is a big way to find out what topics that need to be amplified. Like, I came across actually Becca Myers' story from a POTS account that like makes little photos and like memes about having chronic illnesses. And she shared that story of Becca Myers and how she was forced to drop out of the Olympics or Paralympics. And that was how I found out about it, just from other people trying to raise awareness. And that's what I'm trying to do as well.
Definitely, and I mean, you have, because even for me, like, I've just learned so much from the news stories. So did that TikTok page all start after you got your diagnosis?
Yeah, I started it about a month and a half ago. So pretty recently, I can't go outside much or I can't do too much physical activity. So this was just something I can do to entertain myself that I can be stationary. I can just sit and tell my stories and film my videos. So that was actually kind of something that could give me like an outlet when I couldn't do as much as I used to be able to do.
Yeah, and how have you been finding the TikTok community, the page, everything about it?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I mean, I get to meet interesting new people. And one of the things that actually meant a lot to me was from that POTS video, there were people who reached out to me and was like, oh my gosh, I think I might actually have POTS because POTS takes a really long time to be diagnosed. I was lucky because I had a doctor that recognized it immediately. But some people spend as much as like 3 to 5 years searching to find out what's going on, and they go through a lot of medical trauma trying to get people to listen to them and hear that, hey, something's wrong with me. So the idea that I could be able to help people with POTS find ways and find a way to help themselves and discover their diagnosis meant a whole lot to me.
That's incredible that it takes A that long for a diagnosis and B that you're able to educate and help people. I mean, that's incredible. Can I ask why it takes so long to get a diagnosis?
So POTS is, there's a lot of, it's kind of a complicated thing, but POTS is a, when you go through any of the tests or the screenings, so when you stand up, your heart rate rises and you experience a bunch of symptoms with that. And a lot of doctors don't fully recognize POTS or aren't trained to recognize POTS as a possibility. So it takes a very long time, and it's actually POTS is in, I think it's 70% women. So there is an aspect of just the reality that's a really sad reality where a lot of women's pain is invalidated and it isn't heard. And there's a lot of people who have terrible experiences with doctors who tell them that they're completely fine, that it's all in your head, you're making this up for attention, when it's true, they have a very real and very debilitating illness.
Yeah, that's incredible that woman would get, I think even in general, that woman would just get brushed off, that it was a common thing.
Yeah, it's really sad to me because I was able to find or get my diagnosis and find a treatment path fairly quickly, but a lot of people spend years just struggling to find an answer for what they have and why they're feeling so terrible all the time. And it just breaks my heart that some people have to go through that.
Yeah, it really does. That's really upsetting now to hear, but hopefully with the update of technology and with, like you said, just letting people know, educating people through social media, I think is so powerful, and people forget that. People do educate through social media now.
Yeah, social media definitely plays a major role. I've learned so many new things and found so many new stories and just people who need help through social media. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. So have you seen the more positive or negative side of it?
Of what do you mean by that?
Of social media. Have you seen the more like positive side of social media where you see people help each other? Or do you see the more negative side of social media where you see maybe the harassment and the women not being taken seriously? That kind of aspect of it.
I definitely, there's always both. I try and focus on the positive side and just try and cast the negative side away. Especially, I've definitely encountered that, especially with my video about POTS. There were definitely a lot of people who were trying to invalidate my experience or trying to downplay what I'm going through, or even like denying COVID as a whole, or I had someone tell me that I was a government plant trying to sell vaccines. That was an interesting
Oh
one.
my God.
So it is what it is. There's always that side of the internet, but you just have to try and focus on the good parts rather than the bad.
Yeah, I think that's a lovely message as well, to just focus on the good. Do you have, I love this question. Do you, if you were to meet your 15-year-old self, what advice would you give her?
I would say just take advantage of every opportunity that you have or that you're given, and to just go out and experience as much as you can, because you never know what could happen and things can change in a heartbeat. Like, my entire life was altered in a couple months. And so just live life to the fullest and don't worry about the little things or what people think or get bogged down in the negative, and just try your best to look for the positive and go through life.
I love that message. I think it's really sweet. Live life. I love it.
You.
We're running out of time, unfortunately, so I better move on and ask you the final two questions, Cammie.
Okay.
What is a quote that you live by, and can you tell me why?
I would say I have it right here so I don't butcher it. It's by Maya Angelou, and it's, "You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them." And I think there are so many things that everyone goes through in their life, and everybody can relate to having things that are hard in their life, but it's making that conscious choice to continue to go on and just try and look at the positive and look at everything from the good side. That is what's important.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, how do you look at the positive side of things? Because I think sometimes it's something people struggle with, to look at the good side of things.
I think it is always hard. I always try and just count my blessings. I try and be grateful for what I do have rather than what I don't. I might not have my health, but I have an amazing family. I have some great friends, and that's definitely a privilege to have that I recognize that a lot of people don't have. So it's just trying to be grateful for all the good in spite of the bad.
Yeah, that's really, really nice. And my final question to you, Cammie, is what is one thing you wish people would take away from our conversation here today?
I would say that just that you never know what someone's going through. So, universal kindness and just trying your best to be kind to people and empathetic and understand what people are going through always is just the golden rule. And that you never know how someone is struggling, even if you can't see it. So, just be kind because you never know what's going on behind the scenes.
Oh, that's really nice, Cammie. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed having you on today, and I wish you
Thank you
all the
for
best.
having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I wish you all the best in the future, and I hope POTS continues to improve, and your health gets back on track.
You so much.
You're welcome. And as always, we cannot forget our amazing young musicians that I play on every episode of my podcast. Today, I am playing the song Sway Me Now by the wonderful Jen Ella. If you like this song, you can follow Jen on her Instagram page at Jen Ella Music, and you can find it in my own Instagram page at underscore talk about a podcast. She is a lovely, lovely girl from Cork, and she writes so many beautiful songs. This is one of them called Sway Me Now. It's giving me a little bit of a Cranberries vibe, and I love it because I do love the Cranberries, so I'm definitely loving this song. So, yeah, I hope everybody enjoys it. This is Sway Me Now.
I see a reflection divided in two, good or great choice of. Smile.